Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media here in Madison, Wisconsin, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and around the states on a local civic media radio station near you, maybe locally grown radio up in Wisconsin Rapids, WFHR, or Oshkosh Air Support in the Fox Valley. Our friends in Oshkosh, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, WISS, out there in Oshkosh. So many more terrific civic media stations. You can check out the app. Download it wherever apps are downloaded on your smart device. And on a Friday afternoon, we are joined by William Walter for his most favorite Wednesday. Is that the case, Will?
It is the best Wednesday of the week when it's on a Friday.
Feeling pretty good for a Friday, huh?
Oh, you know it.
Perfect. Well, glad to have you here with me to talk some tangents, headlines, and take some phone callers as well. 844-967-2789. Last night was the first round of the NFL draft. We're going to get into that a little bit later, along with our most Wisconsin headline of the week. So you're going to want to stay tuned for those coming up. We've also got a story about maybe some confusion. I don't know. You'll have to let us know if you're confused by it. But some confusion around the way that elections are administered here in Wisconsin. You'd never guess who is actually claiming maybe somebody else is causing confusion. We'll get more into that as well. But we're going to kick off the hour, Will, with we've got some updates. After we left the air yesterday, Todd Alba and I, gratefully, I was joined by Todd Alba yesterday on a Thursday afternoon. For sharing some tangents, talking the headlines then. If you missed that show, you can check out the podcast. But we got a rough draft of what the Republican proposal was for their shared revenue. We don't have all the details yet. According to reporting, the Wisconsin State Assembly and State Senate are still ironing out those details, Will. They're having those conversations behind closed doors. But after we got off the air yesterday, there was a press conference held in Milwaukee by Republican lawmakers, and they shared some of the finer details, not all of them, but some of the details about what the Republican shared revenue proposal would mean for the city and county of Milwaukee. So that's where we're going to lead off, because we want to update you on what's going on there. And Will, my question here is, for a political party that spends a lot of time making Milwaukee the boogeyman, the political punching bag, can it actually be a genuine proposal to address shared revenue for that city and that county if you don't actually take the stakeholders' input into your proposal? You go behind closed doors, you meet in the Republican caucuses, thanks to gerrymandering. Not a whole lot of Republican representation in Milwaukee County. They've cracked and packed a lot of different districts in that area, for their gerrymandering. But is it a genuine proposal to address shared revenue for the city and county of Milwaukee if you're just coming up with it in the Republican caucus behind closed doors and not getting input from the real stakeholders? They didn't hold a joint finance committee hearing in Milwaukee County.
They purposely avoided it.
The closest they got was in Waukesha County. But they did not hold their initial budget hearings there in Milwaukee. They went around the state, missed the largest county and largest city in Wisconsin. Do you believe this is a genuine policy address for the problems of shared revenue in Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee? 844-967-2789. Because, Will, to me, it really feels like, and Republicans kind of have a lot of these approaches of late, but it feels like a bad faith approach to addressing this problem. What are your thoughts?
I mean, you said the magic words. When it comes to Republican elected officials, bad faith is their strategy. It pretty much encompasses everything that they do and everything that they say. Robin Voss called this bill, quote, the single largest investment in local governments in the history of Wisconsin, unquote. And I find it a bit ironic, I think, that the party of small government, who goes out of their way to talk about how, you know, we'll use Wisconsin as a direct example. Wisconsinites don't want the liberal East Coast elites coming in and telling us how to live our lives. And then they turn around and do that exact same thing with the largest city in the state, the economic engine of the state. Can you imagine if it was the reverse, right? Yeah. If the Wisconsin state legislature was controlled by Democrats and we went and the Democratic majority went into rural Wisconsin and told them, here's the laws that that we are demanding you follow. If you don't follow them, you don't get any money. Like, come on, that's absurd. I'm in suburban, I guess, Wisconsin, you know, my neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. People here would not be happy about that, regardless of which party was in control. If the state tried to crack down and say, you have to follow these arbitrary rules that we're forcing upon you. Like, what happened to local control? I thought that was the whole purpose of a small government.
Yeah, and you share Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's quote, referring to it as the single largest investment in local government in history, in the history of Wisconsin. Local governments have been starved under this Republican-controlled legislature for more than a decade now. So it's very strange to all of a sudden be like, we have the solution to the problem we've been causing for
20 that we created.
Yes,
yeah.
We conveniently ignored this problem for the last 12 years, but huzzah, we have a solution now, Will. We came up with a solution behind closed doors, but their solution for Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee has stipulations on top of that. And they're insisting that there needs to be provisions for the largest area of the largest population area of the state to receive the increase in shared revenue. They can't do things like invest in local transportation because the streetcar in Milwaukee, the hop, is apparently, again, a boogeyman. We don't want Milwaukeeans to be able to, you know, easily get around the city. We're going to prevent you from, you don't get any shared revenue, increased shared revenue, if you put it towards the streetcar. You don't get the shared revenue unless you put armed security officers, SROs, school resource officers. Having a hard time coming up with what the acronym stood for a second there. But SROs, school resource officers, the armed officers in public schools, areas like Milwaukee and Madison, recently their local controlled school boards voted to remove SROs from a lot of the public schools. Not all of them, but certain districts making that decision. Now the Republican legislature is saying, well, if you want any of this increased shared revenue, you got to put those SROs back in the classroom. They're giving.
So the Republican Party is essentially usurping the will of local voters once again. Yes. I'm sensing a theme here.
Seems to be a recurring theme, Will. Seems to be a recurring theme. And so, very interestingly, it seems like there's still going to be. This is a launching off point. Robin Voss's, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's quote, referring to this as the largest investment in local governments and local control. Shared revenue also conveniently leaves out the proposal by Governor Tony Evers that would increase even more in the share of shared revenue going to local governments under his proposal. So, yes, Robin Voss is maybe historically good because the Wisconsin legislature under Republican control has starved local governments. But the Evers proposal is essentially to take 20% of all sales tax and give that to local government. And so that would be more, it would be an even larger investment in these local governments than what the Republican proposal is. I think it's important to point that out as well. This is less shared revenue than the Evers proposal. So there is a launching off point now here for both Evers and Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature to have this conversation. And it's going to be something we keep a close eye on, but I think it's very important to point out the starting point of both where these sides are at in this point in the negotiations.
Well, local governments deserve better than what they've gotten. You've mentioned it numerous times that they've essentially been starved. It kind of reminds me of the old analogy. What's the easiest way to permanently stay in business? To create a problem that only you can sell the solution to, right? Like, if you're the power that be, if you can manufacture all of these issues and then conveniently swoop in 5-10 years later when whatever desperate entity is quite literally starving and reliant upon you to provide these solutions, then you can charge whatever you want for the solutions. In this case, you know, you're not charging a price so much as you're charging demands. You're trying to push your political agenda. You're trying to push the policies that you, as the party of, I'm just going to say the party of big government, because that's what they're doing right now. They're trying
Republicans,
to swoop in at
Republicans lawmakers, are the party of big government. Yes.
Yeah. They're trying to swoop in and tell local communities what they can and cannot do, lest they face the wrath of our state overlords. It's just on brand. I can't think of a better way to describe it than totally on brand for the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin to be hypocritical through and through.
Folks, we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789 on the Republican proposal for shared revenue. Now we have a proposal from both sides. We're going to get the budget process is going to be underway. Joint Finance Committee is already planning on taking votes as soon as next Tuesday on provisions to be included in the upcoming biennial budget. Do you believe the Republicans are going to meet Governor Tony Evers halfway? Do you believe it's going to be the Republican elected officials' way or the highway? Want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. We also got some of, like I touched on, we got the most Wisconsin headlines of the week. We got Will and I's reactions to the Green Bay Packers' first pick in the first round of the NFL draft last night. And we're going to get to some stories about election laws and who's casting doubts and confusion around elections here in Wisconsin, Will, because I don't think it's the culprit.
Not me, Luke.
It's not the culprit you'd think it might be, but we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Again, you can download the Civic Media app. Take us with you on the go this gorgeous Friday afternoon. Will, it feels like you and Mother Nature were talking it up today, even though it was a last-minute appointment.
You know, you mentioned earlier that can you be happy that it's a Friday? Of course I am. It's sunny. It's 60 degrees. It's a Friday. It's almost May. Like, what's there not to be?
What more could you ask for? Folks, Dueling Tangents will be right back. 844-967-2789.
It's a jumping off point. Get out!
Welcome back. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. Will is singing along. You can be too. 844-967-2789.
I was vibing on a Friday, Luke.
Yeah.
On a Friday.
This is on Brian's Do Not Playlist. So when he's away on a Friday, Little Lover Boy gets played every now and then. So in his absence, we're breaking his rules. folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter joining me on this Friday afternoon. And you can call or text 844-967-2789. So that was the update on the Republican proposal for shared revenue. And as I was getting ready for the show today, Will, I was going through the headlines, checking it out. And this one caught my eye, interestingly. And there's some good faith quotes in it, and there's some bad faith quotes in it. And something that we've discussed here on Dueling Tangents a lot since the 2020 election, we've had Republicans casting dispersions. There were Republican lawmakers here in Wisconsin that took the opportunity and ran with it when Donald Trump spearheaded in an effort to try to overturn Wisconsin's 2020 presidential election results. They didn't really stop it. They ran with it. They did more here in Wisconsin to try to support that effort to overturn the election than pretty much any other state. Maybe Arizona, you could argue, did more than Wisconsin.
And it was a step further than just accepting it. They were encouraging it.
Yeah. And so Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and the Republican-led State Assembly essentially greenlit former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman to have a blank check to run roughshod across the state of Wisconsin, insisting that there was widespread voter fraud without actually ever holding him accountable to any of the deadlines to submit these reports. He wanted to jail mayors of Madison and Green Bay. He even tried to threaten election officials with jail time. He consistently tried to subpoena people and have the meetings of those subpoenas behind closed doors without any actual public view, which if you have subpoena power through the Wisconsin legislature, you would expect that to be in the open then. In the idea of good government, have those conversations, those interviews in public and show, if you really thought there was widespread fraud, show it in public. And so for the last 3 years, Assembly Republicans, Michael Gableman, and a lot of conservative actors have cast dispersions on our electoral process here in Wisconsin. And now it seems like we've got an interesting headline over at the Journal Sentinel that the media here in Wisconsin wants to say that somebody else is causing confusion around our elections. We're not going to have an election for a while. Not until 2024. We're pretty much set for statewide elections here in Wisconsin.
Speak for yourself, Luke. Statewide elections, yes.
Yes, but, this is what I'm saying. Statewide elections.
My neck of the woods, not so much. Protecting democracy is a 24/7 gig.
I'm not saying that. It's not. I think democracy is absolutely a 24/7 gig. But statewide elections, we had ours here in 2023 already.
And no, I meant we have another election coming up, is what I meant. That
in your neck of the woods?
Special election for the 24th Assembly District.
Obviously, yes, because, the results of the April 4th, correct. Well, in Madison, there may be a special election as well. State Representative Sheila Stubbs, if appointed to a Dane County position, is going to leave her seat in the Assembly. But interestingly enough, over at the Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin election officials worried Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski's election focus will confuse voters. So, an individual that has a constitutional office here in Wisconsin, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, recently appointed with the resignation of Doug LaFollette. But now this is almost the same lens of criticism that Michael Gableman got for the first couple. Like, it seems like it's a both sides-erism of this instance. And yes, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski here in Wisconsin, the Secretary of State does not oversee elections. But her office's responsibilities have been stripped away over the last several decades, thanks to Republican lawmakers. And so she is trying to use her position to the fullest of its ability to advocate for different provisions. And she wants to make sure that we have good election systems here in Wisconsin. And she's getting criticized by the Republican chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Don Millis, for doing this work. When the only reason that Don Millis is the chairman of the Wisconsin Elections Commission is because Republicans ran roughshod and across Wisconsin, insisting that there was widespread fraud in 2020, to the point where Dean Knutson, the former Republican appointee that Don Millis now sits in his seat, Dean Knutson left the Wisconsin Elections Commission because U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, by all reports, we don't know this officially, but if you do the math of who was referred to behind closed doors, Dean Knutson said that he lost the faith of the Republican leadership because he wouldn't overturn the state's 2020 election results. So Don Millis only has a seat on the Wisconsin Elections Commission to become the chairman of the Wisconsin Elections Commission because Republicans were casting dispersions and trying to overturn our state's election results since 2020, that Dean Knutson resigned and now Don Millis was appointed to it. It's just a fascinating case now that the Journal Sentinel is like, oh, well, Wisconsin election officials are concerned.
What's the Paul Ryan quote, Luke? Remember a few years ago behind closed doors when
he exhausted all his results? Or I don't know about the Paul Ryan quote.
It's the one about we're a big team. The only thing that matters is, you know, that everything that is done and said here stays here. What other type of organization do we know like that, where loyalty is the single most valuable skill set anybody can have?
I'd say the mob. Sounds a little mob-esque.
Organized crime, baby. Organized crime.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. Yeah, it seems like the loyalty is that's the most important thing. Just fascinating headline. It's just we're going to keep a closer eye on it as well, but something that I wanted to rant about here on a Friday. We're going to get to the most Wisconsin headline of the week and your phone calls. Coming up next, 844-967-2789. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. So many terrific local Civic Media radio stations near you. If you want to learn more about our radio stations, or maybe sign up to learn where the next ones may be popping up near you, if you're not currently in the listening coverage area, but you will be soon, head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can see all of the stations, all of the terrific programming that we have here as an expanding radio network across the state of Wisconsin. On this Friday afternoon, I am joined by William Walter, and you can join us on the phone lines as well, 844-967-2789. Will, let's head over to the phone lines. We got Ralph in Milwaukee calling in. Ralph, what's on your mind this Friday afternoon?
Well, seeing you guys open the program up with what the Republicans want to throw Milwaukee for a bone, I wanted you to get at least one phone call from a City of Milwaukee resident telling you that it's a bunch of garbage, that over the lifetime of the shared revenue in the last 18 years, compared to what taxes Milwaukee has sent to Madison, we've gotten zilch back. And of the surplus that's in the kitty there in Madison, we deserve over 1/7 of it back in shared revenue for this city and county. And I'm fed up with those morons in the majority party and their former governor on the way they treat Milwaukee. And I'm tired of it. With the joke that Voss announced yesterday here in Milwaukee with regards to the strings that are attached to the money, they want to say that, oh, they're giving us the biggest thing ever in the history. Well, they cheated us out of the biggest thing in history for the last 18 years. And so it's something where when they dictate what's the composition of the Fire and Police Commission, how the 2% tax is considered a temporary tax.
Mm-hmm.
And things of that nature are just a damn joke. And give us our money back and let us govern with the people we elect and not have you in Madison dictate what we've got to do here in Milwaukee. That's my comment. I wanted you to get at least one phone call from a Milwaukee resident to let you know that we're listening and I'm fed up with these morons in Madison and I'd love to throw a brick through their house window.
Well, those are some pretty strong words, Ralph, and I don't encourage throwing a brick through anybody's window, but I appreciate your phone call. And I'm born and raised in Milwaukee County. I lived there for the first 18 years of my life. I love Milwaukee County. I love the city of Milwaukee. And I completely agree with you on the assessment that for far too long, the state has received more in taxes from the city and county of Milwaukee than it's received back in the shared revenue formula. And I believe the Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's argument of, well, this would be the largest investment in local shared revenue that we've ever had is a terrible bad faith quote, and it needed to be called out, which is what we were doing here on Dueling Tangents. And we appreciate the phone call, Ralph. If you got a tangent on that subject or any other subject, we'd love to hear it. 844-967-2789. We take all tangents here on a Friday afternoon. But Will, it seems like my assessment, your assessment aren't the only ones. Ralph has an excellent point there that a large portion of the surplus that we have, $7 billion surplus in Wisconsin, should be directed towards Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee, but the strings attached nature is what is almost more egregious to me.
It's insulting, frankly. It's like trying to tell a child, no, you can't have this, you can't do this, despite the child having earned the money themselves to, you know, go buy a video game or whatever. And that's, I think that the city is constantly vilified. They're made the punching bag the bad guy. It's so hard to understand.
Yeah, they've used Milwaukee, the city and county, as a political boogeyman for far too long. And the fact that they're like, oh, we'll hold the press conference in Milwaukee. We're not going to hold any joint finance listening sessions there, but we're going to hold the press conference there, and we'll share our thoughts on how we can fix Milwaukee, even though we've used it as that punching bag for so many years. Just almost borderline comical, in my opinion. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Our friend Maggie Dawn, guest devil earlier this week, calling in now. Maggie, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Hey, thanks for covering the topic. So I think all of that is correct, right? Milwaukee County, over the last 20 years, in terms of income tax, property tax, and sales tax, has returned over the year 2000 baseline approximately $6 billion in additional tax revenue to the state. That is true. Is it also true that the Republican-controlled Assembly and Senate are going to use their position of power in the state legislature to put a lot of strings on any new funding that comes into Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee? Yeah, it is. Should that be done? One can make a solid argument that it shouldn't. All of that said, we are left with the reality that life in Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee would be significantly worse in the coming years if there is not a brokered funding solution. And we do not, you know, Democrats do not have control. They do not have say in the Assembly or Senate. And so the only people to do that deal with at this point in time are Republicans, and there's no way that they would allow any additional funding to come in without some strings attached. It is a rock and a hard place. It's not a great position to be in, but without any sort of compromise, shutting down most libraries, slashing police, starting to shut down parks, those kinds of things start to hurt the most vulnerable people in our community the most. And so it does become a bit of a political game of chicken. And so I think we can rightly criticize it, but the bigger context of where we're at as a city and county always has to be a part of that discussion. And if it's not this, what other solution could we get through the Assembly and Senate? I really appreciate you taking my call. Thanks much.
Absolutely, Maggie. And I don't disagree with that assessment either, that nothing, it isn't that nothing can't be done. A solution needs to come out at the end of this budget process. And my whole point would be, yes, if things would be drastically worse if shared revenue is not addressed. There is a fiscal cliff that the county of Milwaukee County is facing. And without this assistance from the state to fix the broken shared revenue model that we have had for far too long here in Wisconsin, that again, Republicans were totally fine leaving broken until they've faced election after election after election of losses since 2018, that they're finally coming to the table and saying, okay, we're going to address local government. They were more than fine with leaving it up to local governments to pass referendums to raise taxes to be able to pay for schools, pay for roads, pay for any numerous projects that local municipalities have been saddled with because the Republican lawmakers have been so absent from solving this problem. But at the same time, the way, and so yes, I don't want the conversations to be blown up and all of a sudden Milwaukee County, the city of Milwaukee, and local municipalities across the state of Wisconsin are all left with nothing because this problem continues to be ignored. But the way that the coverage of it is being perceived through Journal Sentinel reporting and other outlets across Wisconsin, I think need to bring in to affect the whole picture. And it's like the 12th paragraph down in this Journal Sentinel story talking about the Republican proposal that the Evers proposal would do this instead. And so if we're going to be talking about it, and they're so sparse on details because the Republican plan isn't finalized, I think all of the outlets reporting on this need to say that there is a plan that Governor Tony Evers, who, yes, Democrats in the Assembly and State Senate have little say, But Evers has the ability with the veto pen to determine a point of agreement of where the Republican-led legislature and the governor's office will meet in a final product. And so I think it needs to be talked more about in that light as well. But appreciate your phone call, Maggie. 844-967-2789.
You know, we saw a lot of police chiefs, for example, coming out and saying, we need more funding. We don't have the ability to do what our departments need to do. And these are, stereotypically demographics that not only vote, but resonate well with Republican voters. And when those type of individuals came out and noted the problems that they're having with shared revenue, at least in my neck of the woods, that issue really began to come to the forefront, and a lot of people started to recognize the severity of the problem.
Yeah, this isn't a Democrat or a Republican problem. This is a Wisconsin problem. Our local governments across the state of Wisconsin are facing budget gaps that the neglect that the shared revenue formula has had over recent decades has been leading to. And so, yes, both sides need to come together, but it can't just be this is the Republican plan, it's this way or the highway. It can't be. It has to be a compromise. Wisconsin voters elected Governor Tony Evers for a second term last November. Yes, they elected the Republican-led legislature and state senate as well, but both of them have all three of those parties, the state assembly, the state senate, and the governor's office have a role to play in these negotiations, and there absolutely has to be input from all three. And so now that the Republicans are finally getting around to the details of their plan, we can start having these conversations and we'll cover them. But the governor's office has had Tony Evers' proposal has been out there for months now. And so it's just, to cover this quote of, well, this would be the largest investment for local governments in the history of Wisconsin, according to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Well, yeah, only if Tony Evers' proposal wouldn't be taken up, because Evers is proposing to give even more to local governments. Want to hear your thoughts? 844-967-2789. Let's head back over to the phone lines. We got Lynn and Oconomowoc calling in. Lynn, what's on your mind today?
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to give retirees from Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee a heads up. If you vote for Republicans, the city and county are not being funded properly, and our pensions then are at risk because the city and county cannot make their contributions to our pensions. So when you vote Republican, you're slitting your own throat. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call, Lynn. Yes, pensions, another aspect, as Maggie pointed out, parks, all of the different aspects of the schools and everything that these local governments fund would be at risk if the negotiations do get blown up and there's no addressing of the shared revenue in the upcoming biennial budget. I want to hear your thoughts, 844-967-2789. Outside of shared revenue being discussed yesterday, we also had some news in the sports world, Will, and the Green Bay Packers taking Lucas Van Ness in the first round, 13th pick overall. Your reaction to that, folks, if you've got a reaction to the Green Bay Packers first round pick, this could be a submission of the most Wisconsin headline of the week as well, Will, because Green Bay Packers drafting a defensive player in the first round over an offensive player. That seems pretty on par. So that is a pretty Wisconsin headline of this week.
20 of the last 26, Luke. You would think at some point the defense would start playing up to the quality you would expect it's so loaded with first round picks. The only six offensive players were two quarterbacks, Rodgers and Jordan Love. Three offensive tackles, Brian Bulaga, Derek Sherrod, two offensive tackles, Bulaga and Sherrod, and then Bubba Franks in going back to 2000, along with Javon Walker in 2002, famously the last quote-unquote skill position player. I was really hoping we would go JSN with that 13th pick. I think a quick twitch slot receiver is a young quarterback's best friend, but we know that's not how the Packers roll. The Packers like to take defense early, and I think Van Ness could be a good player. Mock drafts have had him all over the board. Some had him top 10, some had him bottom of the first, some had him falling into the second. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a GM because I'm not. I'm an armchair GM, but I do follow pretty closely. and I
don't know.
I'm not disappointed, but I'm not happy.
The details of how big he is. He's like 270-plus pounds and how quick he is.
6'5", 272.
And he ran a very fast 40, so athletic player, that's for sure. It's going to be interesting to see how he does in the green and gold. We're going to talk more about the draft last night and continuing today and the most Wisconsin headlines of the week. Fueling Tangents, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. You can follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. Joined on a Friday afternoon, his first favorite Wednesday of the week, William Walter. And you can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. So, yeah, the mock drafts are always an interesting thing. You know, the Green Bay Packers have had some pretty obvious drama in the first round in the last couple of years with the whole Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love saga.
I can think of at least one. That's true.
Well, and then every subsequent year when they were like, oh, well, will they get more offensive help for Rodgers, even though he's playing out of his mind? He's back-to-back MVPs. And still, defensive players in the first round. And, I mean, like you said, neither of us are GMs. It's a very hard job to see. It will be interesting to see who the Packers take. They have the 42nd and 45th overall picks here in the second round that begins again tonight for the NFL draft. And it'll be interesting to see if they get some offensive support there for the young quarterback, Jordan Love. But it seems...
I would bet every dollar to my name, Luke, that one of those two picks is going to be a tight end. Darnell Washington out of Georgia, Sam Laporta out of Iowa, Tucker Kraft out of, I believe, North Dakota State. This is a very deep tight end class, and obviously with Robert Tonyan moving on and Mercedes Lewis still unsigned, we are in desperate, desperate need for help at that position. One thing I will note is a lot of mock drafts had us looking towards Dalton Kincaid, the tight end out of Utah. Personally, I feel like for a tight end to be taken in the front half of round one, they have to be an elite prospect with very few red flags.
TJ Hockenson. Dalton, yeah.
TJ Hockenson, Kyle Pitts, something along those lines. But Dalton is going to be 24 in October, so he's quite old for a prospect. He's coming off a back injury. Back issues can linger. He didn't even start for a full year. He's also playing time at Utah this year was due to an injury.
Isn't he going
to
be a Buffalo Bill? Didn't the Bills draft him last night?
Bills traded up for him. I'm saying with the 13th.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha.
We were discussing mocks. Pretty much every mock I saw had.
I thought you were still saying for the second round. I was like, second round. I don't think he's available anymore. Buffalo's already got him.
We are going to annex Dalton Kincaid. The Green Bay Packers have decided. Hey, wait, that
in a
no
fantasy football draft, you get laughed out of the room when you draft somebody that's already been drafted. So that's I just wanted to make sure you weren't making one of those mistakes. That's all.
No. Just commenting, I guess, on the first round pick. We talked about it a little bit before the show how poetic but also hilariously petty it would have been if the Packers had decided to take a pass catcher with their first round pick the year after they moved on from Rodgers. Though I don't think it's as weird as people think with the idea being look at Seattle for years and years and years. Russell Wilson had a very poor offensive line. They traded him. And what do they do the first year that he's gone? Beef up the offensive line. The thought process might be that this ultra talented quarterback can kind of overcome a weakness at a position of need like that. Russ has great mobility, so they don't necessarily need as strong of an offensive line. Rodgers is so talented, he can make lesser, you know, quote unquote, skilled receivers. Because I don't think, you know, the Packers drafted Jordy Nelson in the second round. They drafted Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams in the second round. These were players that turned out to be elite prospects. But that first round, that highly elusive first round receiver that Green Bay hasn't taken since 2002, it would have been very noteworthy and would have gotten a lot of clickbait articles online, certainly, if the Packers had decided to go that route. You talked about Van Ness's raw athletic ability, though. some of the physical testing numbers, a 4.58 40, 4.32 short shuttle drill, and a 7.023 cone drill. That's fast.
Yeah, that's a fast, it's a fast big man. That's what that is. So, yeah,
men that size should not be moving that fast. But one that's of the why things, they get paid millions of dollars to play professional sports.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm looking forward to the most with his draft selection for any of those games that are in primetime with NBC that, you know, the famed Brian Bulaga, Iowa. And that little intro in the Sunday Night Football, I'm really looking forward to Lucas Van Ness, Iowa. So
maybe
I really hope
Sam LaPorta, also from Iowa, we can just make our whole Sunday Night Football promo just Iowa.
But only if they contact Bulaga and get the right way and the right inflection of how to say Iowa.
It's you have to do it right, otherwise you're just doing the bit for. It comes off as cheesy, as inorganic.
Right, right. You want it to be as natural sounding as possible. I did find it interesting, the watch party that Van Ness was at last night for the draft. He was not in person in Kansas City. He was in Fontana, Wisconsin. So not going to have to make that far of a trek to Green Bay to put on the green and gold. It will be interesting. So I think this one wins out even without the next submission. But we got a second submission for the most Wisconsin headline of the week. And I just found this one comical. Really, because Molson Coors was attempting to deliver a beer delivery to Germany, and the customs patrol or the inspecting body for Europe essentially read the label of this Miller High Life can, this large shipment of Miller High Life as the champagne of beers, and then destroyed it because it doesn't come from the Champagne region of France, Will. And this is just... What if we named an area of Wisconsin just Champagne so that we could actually pump out Miller High Life as the champagne of beers if it came from a Champagne region in Wisconsin?
You might be onto something, Luke. Maybe that's
a way
to
fix it
to the Republican legislature, huh?
It's a way to fix it so that next time Molson Coors sends a giant shipment of High Life to Germany, it doesn't get put into the trash compactor. It instead is enjoyed by whoever the customer was in Germany. The reporting over at NPR not sharing that. But I think truly the most Wisconsin headline of the week would be the Green Bay Packers going with a defensive player in the first round of the NFL draft rather than a offensive player, even though Aaron Rodgers is gone now.
You know, I hate to rub salt in the wound too.
Don't
Luke,
do it then. Just don't do it. You don't have to. I'd see we almost ran out of time, and I was just going to avoid the third submission this week.
I got to say it. Wisconsin teams choking in the playoffs. Best team in the regular season through and through, and then just can't seem to play when it matters most. It's something I think Wisconsin sports fans have come to expect at this point. Now, it could be worse. You could root for a Chicago-based team and not even make the playoffs. So, you know, count your blessings. What would you rather have? You know, if you could guarantee me right now 10 more years of dominant regular seasons but failure in the playoffs, yeah, you're going to be miserable every postseason, but those regular seasons are a lot of fun too.
It only has to be 8 years because it's 10 years from the last win, and that was 2021. So we only have to wait 8 more years if that curse holds true. We'll have to see, though. But I'm still mourning. I didn't want to call it mourning, but I guess it's mourning. The Milwaukee Bucks, is which you were referencing there, losing to the Miami Heat. That is pretty tough. But, you know, Memphis Grizzlies getting knocked out by the Lakers makes it seem like it's not the only one. The Bucks aren't the only one, so that's good. Will, really appreciate you joining me here on this Friday afternoon. Folks, if you miss any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Click on the show tab, Dueling Tangents. Or you can find us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, so many more. Have an excellent weekend. Dueling Tangents will be back on Monday at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.